Welcome to the Team Engagement Podcast, where leaders of teams share their insights. Brought to you by Blue Sky Business Consulting, we discuss five questions in about 15 minutes.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome to the Team Engagement Podcast. Glad you are here with us. And I'm also glad who is here with us. This is Scott Wharton, and he is our guest today. He is the CEO of Tandem PV out of San Jose, California. Scott, thank you so much for taking time to join me on the podcast. What would you like the audience to know about Tandem PV?
Well, I would say, first of all, thank you for having me. And Tandem PV is a next generation solar panel maker. So we're using a completely different technology, and this will be good for your listeners for cocktail parties. We're using technology called perovskites, which is a great conductor of electricity. It's like 200 times thinner than a solar panel and better, faster, cheaper. So basically, we're going to build the next generation of solar technology and panels that should solve climate change and allow us to use lots more electricity.
Oh, that's fantastic. I like that. I always like hearing next generation. Like, what are we looking ahead to? How are we going to make it better? Well, that sounds great. All right. Well, Scott, let's jump into our questions today. Our first question, how do business leaders know when to pivot in their business?
Well, I had this experience where I was on my third startup. I was the founder and CEO of the company. And I remember I started getting some negative feedback where people were not that excited about what we were doing. And I think the lesson for me is I made the pivot probably about 3 months too late. And I would say after a while, you know, you'll always get some negative feedback, but I was getting enough in my gut that I knew that we were not in the right direction. Some people were pushing back and some people were not that excited about it. So I would say the big lesson for me is I think usually you know in your gut whether you're doing something wrong before your head will come around to it, or maybe your pride or your ego. So I would really listen to your body and your feelings more than your mind and say, when do you have that feeling when you know that, all right, it's good to be steadfast and stubborn, but at some point you have to know when you're getting feedback from people that, you know, they're just not that into you and excited about what you're doing.
That's a really good observation because, boy, in this day and age, things can change rapidly. And sometimes people get a little stuck in their ways. And I like how you said, be careful about letting your mind control things too much, but to trust your gut. I really like that. That's a great comment and great observation. So thank you for sharing that. All right. Question number two, share with the audience one of your company's core values and then how that value helps you make decisions.
Well, there are a bunch of things I could pick. One of them that I'll pick is a core value is about just innovating and constantly doing things new. And I'd say part of innovation is having a diverse set of people that can make complex decisions. Like, you don't want to have groupthink where everybody believes the same thing. Part of it is being willing to take a risk. And maybe I'll go back to the, you know, example of I've been to a bunch of startups where we took a new direction and all the so-called experts told us we were completely wrong and idiots for doing it. And at the end of the day, we trusted our gut that the combination of gut and some data that we were going to be in the right direction. I have to say almost all of those things paid off. And I think part of what's interesting about that is that most people are afraid to commit to a new area. But if you have a combination of ideas and you're willing to take a risk profile, it can really pay off. And I think that's what we're doing here is we're, you know, of course, there are going to be a bunch of people saying it'll never work. You'll never beat the Chinese, you know, fill in your blanks of what will never happen. But I feel pretty confident that if we keep innovating and we're going to make a solar panel that does 40% more power than today's panels, like, that's going to work.
Yeah, that's significant. That's significant. I like that. I like the core innovation, the core value being innovation. I think that's a really important value for any company, really, but especially in yours, where it's cutting edge, next gen, all that kind of good stuff. So that's fantastic. Thank you. All right. Question number three, what's one tip that you have for leaders on finding and then hiring talent?
Don't over index on hiring for experience. I think there are many people who particularly they look for someone who's done a job for 20 years and then they're going to move over and do the same job. There are a couple of problems for that. One is that the person who's taking the job, they've already done it before. They're just not that excited about the new job. And second of all, you may not be able to afford them because they've already been doing this job for a long time. And I like to hire people less for experience and more for talent and attitude. Like, attitude is something that you can't necessarily teach. And when someone has the right attitude if they're intellectually curious, usually they can learn something pretty fast, but they're actually really excited and grateful that you gave an opportunity. And if you're just trying to hire someone else who's already had the experience, usually, you know, they probably won't leave to your company anyway. Why would they? They've already got a great job. So I'm often looking for the people who are overlooked, maybe people that have no experience at all in a particular area, but show intellectual curiosity and a fire in their belly to learn. I've hired a bunch of people lately, and I've done it over my career, and they almost always surprise you, and they overachieve what you think other people can do if they've been in an industry for a long time. Now, I don't discriminate against people that have a lot of experience.
Right.
I mean, I think it's good to have a healthy mix, but I think oftentimes people try to hire. The other thing is people try to hire from the last company. Oh, we just beat that company. Now we're going to bring everyone into our company. Well, isn't that bad? Like, they have all the old ideas. Why do you want to bring them in?
Yeah, good point. No, I really like that, because especially in a tech company where there's a lot of innovation going on, it can get easy to rely on the experience, and that experience can almost destroy the innovation. And you kind of almost need a mix. I like how you blend those two together, because you want that experience that is helpful, but some new fresh eyes, new ways of thinking, next gen, all of that can really help add to the innovation, especially for a company like yours. So that's a great comment. Really like that.
It's also just a different way of thinking about diversity. I think oftentimes people get stuck on diversity as the color of your skin, whereas I think diversity is diversity of your background. How do you think?
Yes.
And you want to have, if you get people that think in very different ways, come into different industries, then you can create a culture that everybody can challenge each other in an open way. That's the strength of diversity, not just about everybody having a different ethnicity, color of your skin, but they all went to Harvard. That's not diversity.
Absolutely. I completely agree. We get a little bit narrow-minded when it comes to diversity, and sometimes we forget that there's all different kinds of diversity, and experience and age and all those things can certainly be one of them that we tend to overlook a little bit. So I appreciate you making that comment. All right, question number four. Within your organization, how do you identify and develop strengths among your people?
Well, I think one of the biggest mistakes that people make is they will come up with a job description and they'll put people in a box. And very oftentimes, some people will be good at some things and not other things. Or they will put someone in a new job and they were successful before. And now they're in their new job and they're failing. I really believe that you need to look very closely at the individual and play to someone's strengths and what they love. And if they're not good at something or they don't like it, have them stop doing it. And then instead of designing an organization around boxes and PowerPoint, I like to design the organization around people. And maybe what it also means is that you can bring in some great individual that maybe doesn't have a fit in your boxes, but could contribute in a really meaningful way. And then you wrap the organization around the individuals that you have rather than the boxes that you've created.
No, I really like that. Great approach. Organize the company around your people, not around boxes. Really like that. All right. Our last question is a fun question. Time to get the hat on here. You know, I'm a Phillies fan, so we're going to have to be biased here for just a second. But Scott, share with the audience a favorite baseball story that you have.
Well, I don't know if it's my favorite baseball story, but I remember I was in Little League, and it was in my last season, and it was the championship game, and we were up. And I think there were people on the bases, and I was in the pivotal outfield position. And the coach told me, Scott, move in, you know, just in case the person hit it shorter. And it was their slugger. It was the cleanup batter. And I move in, and sure enough, he hits it over my head, and we lose the game. And I'm bawling and crying.
Oh,
you know, just devastating loss. But I think the lesson for all of us that I take out of that now is, you know, sometimes you just have to make a hard, calculated decision. And the reality is, when you make a hard decision, sometimes it doesn't work.
Right.
I don't think it's good to have regrets about should you or should you have not done something. You make the best decision you do. And if you lose, you lose. If it works out, great. And don't cry and have regrets over things that you have no control over. Just live with it.
Well, I really appreciate that very end of the comments that you made at the end of the story, because that is what happens. And we sometimes make a calculated, take a calculated risk of sorts, doesn't quite work out, and we end up beating ourselves up about it forever, when really learn what you can from it, move on. Because, you know, sometimes you just get beat. Sometimes the other team.
Sometimes you just get beat. And if by the way, if you're not taking those risks, then you can't have the opportunity to win sometimes.
Exactly.
You're like guaranteed to lose. So sometimes you just have to do it, and it may not work out.
Exactly. Oh, I love that. Love that. Well, thank you for sharing the story. And thank you again for joining me on the podcast today. How can people find you?
They can find us at tandempv.com, and you can find me at Scott Wharton on LinkedIn, like Wharton, like the business school.
Very good. Thanks so much. And thank you to everyone who is joining us every week for the Team Engagement Podcast. We appreciate you very much. And thanks so much, and have a great day.
This is Sean Richards with the Team Engagement Podcast, where leaders of teams share their insights. For more ideas, go to teamengagementpodcast.com. We also invite you to follow or subscribe to our podcast wherever you may be listening or watching. Is your business thriving? Go to tbs-score.com to find out. Thanks for joining us today. Have a great day.